I'm looking forward to Just Lunch. If we're done by noon, that gives me 42 minutes. I don't think I'll need all 42 minutes because I have a very, very just simple message today. Just a reminder for each and every one of us. And before we even get started, I'm going to have my wife. She is going to help me today. You might be seated. Thank you, Sister Musician. How many of you have ever been in love? How many of you are still in love? I guess that would be the next question. How many of you have ever written a love letter? Oh, come on. A few of some love letters. There is something very special about love letters. And I think it's interesting. I didn't tell you guys this, so I'm just going to read the one little portion here. But in 1 Corinthians 14, the very beginning of that, the very first few words that Paul wrote in that chapter was, "Let love be your highest goal." Let love be your highest goal, because there is something powerful in love. How many of you, when you fell in love with somebody, you did some pretty crazy things that you probably wouldn't have normally done? Absolutely, because there's something about love that draws things out of us that we wouldn't normally do. And how many of you find that it's in those moments that you wrote some of the sappiest love letters of your entire being? There's about four of you that are some of you just not sappy love letter writers. Well, if you look at the greatest love letters ever written, and you Google it, of course, there's a lot of different ideas and perspectives, but if you listen to Google and its results, there are two love letters that kind of rise to the cream of the crop and are considered two of the greatest love letters ever written. The first one is, it's funny, these love letters are so powerful that they actually have titles that have been given to them. But the first one is Immortal Love, and it was written in 1812 by no one other than the great Beethoven. Now, they don't know who this letter was written to, because he didn't put the person's name at the top, and they actually found it after his death. But in Immortal Love, he says these words, "My angel, my all, my very self, never misjudge the most faithful heart of your most beloved." Aren't those wonderful, great, fantastic, sappy words? Don't you just love the way he pours his heart out? And one of the things in that letter that he wrote that I thought, never misjudge the most faithful heart of your most beloved. Can I tell you something just as a slight addendum to that? Never misjudge your most faithful love, Jesus Christ, and never misjudge his motives in your life, because I promise you, no matter what is going on in your life, what he is with you through, he knows how to take that thing and make it and work it for the best in your life. Never misjudge his motives. Never misjudge his love and his heart for you. The second greatest love letter ever written is called Sonnets from Portuguese. How many of you have read Sonnets from Portuguese? It's unanimous. None of us have read Sonnets from Portuguese. It was written in 1845 by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She was a poet in the 1800s, and she was married to a famous poet known as Robert Browning, who some of you may have heard of in your English studies. Now, she wrote this letter sonnets from Portuguese Elizabeth did to Robert. And in there, I promise most of you have heard this line. It's, "How do I love thee?" What is it? "Let me count the ways." And then she proceeded to count all of the ways. It's a great, great love letter. And if you're looking for inspiration, because as we're done here today, you're thinking, I need to go home and write a love letter, I highly recommend you look these up and get some great ideas. Now, for me, when I look at it, I don't know that Google is necessarily right in picking the greatest love letters ever written, because I think the greatest love letters ever written were written in 1996. And the title of those love letters are the Brad and Heidi love letters. I still have my love letters from those years when I was at Texas Bible College. And I was only there for 3 months, but we corresponded back and forth. And what was terrible about that time was we didn't have cell phones. And anybody remember the days when to make a long-distance phone call, you had to take out a small loan in order to pay for those 5 minutes of talking? And so it was not a good time if you wanted to speak on a regular basis. So you had no choice but to take pen and paper and began to write. And so we did. And now what is so funny about this is when we first began to write, in August of 1996, they were very friendly letters. We had a lot of fun times when we were together. How are things going? I hope you're doing well. And then the old saying is true, that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so, as we began to write, the letters began to get a little bit different. And we began to say different things and share different things. And the once or maybe once every 2 weeks we'd get on the phone, we would talk. And it was funny, though. We didn't say the same. You can't say in the beginning the same things on the phone that you could write in a letter, because you ain't looking them in the eye. And so we wrote these wonderful things that I still have them. And I was reading through some of them as I was pulling them out. And she wrote on one of them something about a heathen. And I don't know who she was talking about at that point. But it was on the back of one of the letters of something about... Anyways. You know it's love if they'll marry a heathen, right? You know that there has to be love. But as good as our love letters were, and she kept hers also, they still aren't the greatest love letters that were ever written. And the greatest love letter that has ever been written in the history of the world is our Bible. There is no greater love letter that you can pick up and open and read and see love pouring from it from all over the place and so much inside of it. And I remember as you're writing love letters, or these letters that eventually turned into love letters, you try to come up with creative ways to express those deep feelings that you have. And so this morning, for just a little while, I'm going to preach about the great love letter. The great love letter. Lord, I love you. And I thank you this morning for your presence. And as we spend these next few moments, Lord, I pray that this thought that you have shared with me this morning, that it would come through and in the same way that I feel it to everyone else, because, Lord, your love is so great and so wonderful. And, Lord, we thank you for it so much. Amen. I've asked, you see my wife up here, I didn't ask the love of my life, my wife to just come up here and sit so that I could periodically turn and look at her, though I will do that. But she is, I figured if we're going to be reading words of love in the Bible, there's no better person to do it than my wife. And so she's going to read our scriptures for us today. And it'll also give me a chance to take a drink. But we do know that the Bible, it is a love letter from the Lord. He is our Lord, He is our Savior, and here is the fact of the matter. He loves us. So He said, I am going to get all of these men to write all of these words so that everyone knows how much I love them. And everybody said, thank you, Jesus. So how do we know that this is a love letter? How do we know that this is this book that we have, that we read, that we study from, that we get enjoyment from, that we are challenged by? How do we know that it is a love letter? Well, it's very easy to recognize it as such. Because you see love expressed from the very beginning all the way through the end. It is a central theme you find in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The word love in some form or fashion is mentioned nearly 1,000 times, and it is sprinkled all throughout Scripture. That is just the word. That's not even counting the times when he's expressing the idea of love. But just the words alone, nearly 1,000 times. Jesus in his ministry, he spoke about it numerous times, and he spoke about his love that he has and the love and the bend he has with his love towards mankind. And one of my favorite disciples, if you all have one, but one of my favorite is John. And the reason I love John so much is because John is the disciple that was the most sappy because he wrote about love the most. You know, and I don't think, you know, when John was writing, he said, speaking of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was writing in, you know, about himself in the third person. I don't think he was saying it because he loves me, but he doesn't love them. He loves me, but he doesn't love you. I think he was simply saying, I know how much Jesus loves me. And John, he writes about love so much, and he was just a tremendous, loving, love-recognizing man. You find it in the letters written to the churches, Paul, Peter, and John, they all wrote about love and about the Lord's love that is bent towards us. The Bible is indeed a love letter. So let's look at an example of it in the Old Testament. We look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3.
Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself.
So what we find here is my brother opens my bottle for me. Is Jesus is talking to Israel and he says, I have loved you. Doesn't that sound like a love letter? I have loved you with and I love the word, everlasting love. I have loved you and I will never stop loving you. It's unfailing, this love that I have for you. And then he says this, and I draw you to myself. It's like, as we're sitting and like, I think I might like her. And then you draw her to yourself. That's the visual that you've got to get with this, with the Lord. He wants to draw close to us because he loves us. When I think about his love and think about his goodness, when I think about what he did for me, I can't help It's one of the reasons I'm so sappy and I cry so much, because his love is so deep. We can never understand it, but we can enjoy it and we can feel it when he touches us with his love. In the New Testament, we talked about our sappy disciple John. He wrote these words in 1 John 4:9-10.
God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that he might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins.
Oh, he showed us how much he loved us. He's not someone who just simply said, I love you. And then the next day, I love you. And then the next day, I love you. But then never showed his love. It's one thing to tell someone, I love you. It's another thing to show someone, I love you. Because when you show someone you love him, I mean, the fact of the matter is, our actions in life speak much louder than our words do. And you can't show any greater love than that you would lay down your life for someone that you love. And what we see here is his love is the starting point for everything that he gives us in this wonderful letter. And we're gonna look real quick at what that love unfolds for us, what that love gives to us in our lives. But you see, the entire Word of God is the unfolding of his life and his love for us. In the book of Genesis, we know he loved being with Adam and Eve, and he would come and he would spend time with them. And then Adam and Eve, they wrecked the relationship. And you find from that point, the entire rest of Scripture is him getting back to us. I was thinking about when we were singing and the veil was torn. I was thinking, you know, the whole reason he tore that veil was to signify the fact that my presence is no longer held back from you. I want to draw close to you. So I'm breaking down the barriers so that I can come and not just be with you, but I want to be inside of you. I love the fact that the Bible is this love story about the reconciliation of God and man and trying to restore that love between God and man. And we read in 1 John 4:9 how much he loved us, then that he died for us, that he made the sacrifice that our sins might be washed away so that we can come into his presence. Do you realize that Jesus would rather die than not spend time and be with you? His love overrode his own desire in life to live, because he said, I want to be with you so bad, I'm willing to die for you. In Romans 5:10-11, we read these words.
For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God.
That is so powerful. Now, y'all said you wrote sappy love letters, right? Some of you, and you've all written love letters. Did any of you ever write one of those to your enemy? But we, in our sinful nature, in our bend towards our humanity and away from God, we were at our war with him. We are his enemy. We didn't want to live for him or with him. And he says, I love them so much, even though they are currently my enemy. I've got to make a way. I've got to find a way to get close to them. And if Heidi were to stand back here, there was something that kept her and God from getting together. And though there might be an understanding and there might be something that you would say, you know, I want to be with God, but I don't know how to do it. And that's the truth of the matter is man could only get so close to God before the shedding of Jesus' blood. And there was always something there that just kept man and God. They couldn't get that close together. But what we just read in Romans was because he said, I don't want anything to separate me from being with my enemy who I want to be my friend, who I want to love with everything. He died upon the cross, and he rose again, and he created this wonderful thing that we have access to called the new birth. And what he did was he wiped the chairs out of the way. The chairs were wiped out of the way, and now we can be close. Now we can stand right beside God. Now, and you know what I love? Adam and Eve walked with him in the cool of the day, but I get to walk with him inside of me. They were close to him, but they never had him inside of them like we do. I'm just thinking he might love us a little bit more than Adam and Eve. Or not. But I just love the fact that he says he did it because he wants to be with us. And I love the fact that his love letter says, I want to be with you, not just today, but we read it earlier, but for all time, for eternity. I want to be with you. I want our love to be an everlasting love. And so I love the fact that we get this gospel, this good news that Jesus said, I have come to find a way so we can spend eternity together because we love one another. But then he said, while we're on our way there, I'm going to be with you every day. I'm going to walk with you. And Thursday night, I so appreciated this sharing on Thursday night as we were talking about the gospel in our lives, about all the times you all talked about when he walked beside you in your life during those times that were sometimes a struggle. Because he doesn't want to just look towards eternity. He wants to be with us today. There is no greater life than a life with the greatest lover the world has ever known, and that is our Jesus. You know, there are some wonderful things about love letters. Love letters are cherished. I've had these for nearly 30 years. And there, it was funny. I told Heidi I was going to bring these. She's like, you ain't reading none, are you? I said, well, why not? And she said, because that's just for us. And when you write, there's nothing bad in there, okay? I mean, but it is pretty sappy. But here's the thing, when you write a love letter, and when I was writing to Heidi, you know who they were for? Heidi. And when Heidi was writing them to me, you know who they were for? Me. They weren't meant to be shared with everyone else. It was just her and I. And there for a little bit, we had this thing going where it was who could find the best card to write our letter in. Hallmark made a killing on us during those 3 months. But here is the great thing about this love letter. It's for everybody. I love the fact in John 3, we all know John 3:16, but if we start in verse 15.
So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
So here is the thing. Now, this is John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Very famous scripture. The most quoted scripture on the planet is this scripture. But do you know who he was writing or saying these words to? They're for us today, but who was he specifically speaking to in this moment? Nicodemus. We forget that when we read this because this scripture has been pulled out and set off by his side. And so sometimes we forget that he was talking to a religious ruler at this point. A religious ruler that said, I think you're the Messiah. Jesus said, I am, and you got to be born again. Well, how do I do that? You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay, that makes no sense. Well, let me explain a little bit more, Jesus says. And he does. And Nicodemus is like, it still makes no sense. And Jesus is like, how can you, being a religious teacher, not understand it? And then he goes through and he unfolds it for him. And then in the end, he tells this religious leader who, if you know anything about the Jews at the time, they thought they were the only ones. And Jesus said those words, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then in 3:16, he says it again, so that everyone who believes in him. This love letter is written for every single person on this planet. Rich or poor, young or old, American, African, Guatemalan, Palestinian, Israeli, Russian, Ukrainian, everybody. It is a love letter for everybody. So if you've ever said, I never received a love letter, yes, you did. You received the greatest love letter ever written. You see, and that's the reason we do. Cherishing, and I apologize to my media people and my wife for getting my scriptures out of order here, but John said it this way in the church about how much we cherish this love letter in John, 1 John 2 and 5.
But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him.
So here is the thing. You can gauge your love with him by your desire to read his letters. When Heidi and I were writing these letters, again, we didn't have texting, so we couldn't send emojis and cute little pictures and instantly send them to one another, right? We did something crazy, and we wrote them and stuck them in an envelope and put an address on it, and then stuck a stamp on it, and then dropped it in a box, and then waited on the wonderful postal service to pick it up, and then to move it 995 miles to the other box. That sometimes took days. But every day I went in, and I'm like, did I get any mail? Now, my mom would send letters every once in a while, and I'd be like, okay, I guess I'll read mom's. No, mom, they were really good. She watches this, so it was really, they were fantastic. My mom wrote really good, she writes sappy letters too. But I looked forward to those, and I would get it, and I would make a beeline back to my dorm. I'd shut the door, and I'd sit down, and I'd open it. And then I would read it, and I felt better, and life was wonderful. And then I went to Hallmark, because I had to find a better card, you know, as good as it was. But this love letter, we need to cherish it. We need to realize what it is and the value that it has for us. Also, love letters show the recipient the sender's heart. And that was what was so fun for me at the time. You see, I think she loved me before I, you know, like loved. Because we were just friends. But when I left, she was like, I'm never going to see him again. but I think I might like him. Right? And so we started writing, and I'm writing purely out of friendship until it wasn't. And I think she was just waiting on me to say something, and then she started writing. And what it did is we wrote those letters back and forth. Over time, we began to see each other's heart for one another, to where it finally got to the point where we're like, we need to have a real phone call here, and we need to talk about what's happening in these letters. And I don't know who made that phone call. I made her a little nervous. I still make her a little nervous. But love letters, they do. They show a person's heart. And that's exactly what his love letter shows us. It shows his willingness to sacrifice himself for us. Again, he would rather die than live without us. That is to me one of the most powerful statements and thought we can get from his word. He would rather die than live without you. It shows us his desire to take care of us. It shows us his desire to be with us now and for all of eternity. It shows his desire to shape us into his image, because he knows the more we become like him, the happier we are. It also shows his desire to lead us into the greatest life and purpose that we can have. You see, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows all of the things that make up Ralph. But he says, I made Ralph just like I want him. And I love him. And I'm going to make him into something fantastic. And I'm going to show him how to do that in my love letter to him. Every one of us in here, when you read that love letter, and what I love about it is sometimes you read it and you're like, ooh, he wrote that to me just now. And somebody else, they're like, he didn't write that to me right now. But his love letter, if we read it, looking at it as his love for us and to us and how we can become the best us we can be, he will change your life into something beautiful. The song said something beautiful, something good, because all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But when we dig into his love letter, he can make something so beautiful out of our life. I love the fact that his love letter tells us that he loves us. And when I was in prayer in preparation for this, I felt like the Lord said to me, tell them I love them, even when they don't feel like they're worthy of my love. And I don't know if you're here today and you're like, I think I've messed up, or I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think that I align just right. And you're like, I don't know. I don't deserve his love. Can I tell you today? He loves you. You don't have to earn his love. And we read in Romans chapter 8.
And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There's nothing that can separate you from his love. Now, I got into a discussion one time with a friend, and we were talking, and he's like, He was almost that hyper grace kind of mindset. He was like, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, God's love is always there. And I said, you know, that is true, but there is a difference between God's love and God's presence. Because the Bible says that he cannot be where sin is. And if I willingly sin, and if I'm, you know, he moved the chairs out of the way so that we could be close. But you know what I can do in my life? I can grab those chairs and slide them right back into position and create separation. But that doesn't change the fact that he's still standing on the other side saying, I love you. Will you move those stinking chairs? Because I love you. I want to get close to you. And he tells us there is nothing in this world that can separate us from his love. So I'm here today to tell you, get that stinking thinking out of your mind. He loves you. It's a lie from hell every time you think in your mind, I'm unworthy of his love. Because here's the fact, none of us are worthy of it. He just gives it freely to us because he loves us. And I love the fact that his love letters tells us that he is patient with us. I love the fact that his love letter says, I can give you hope and I will not lose hope in you. I love the fact that he tells us that his love is so powerful it drove him to the cross. I love the fact that he says, I want you. I love the fact that love is so powerful it will last forever. And as we stand this morning, this idea of love being lasting, I keep track of stories that I read. If I read a letter or something, I will take that and I'll put it in a program to keep track of all of my notes. Because I know someday that's going to make a great story or a great illustration in a sermon. And so I got into my program and I'm looking and I typed in the word love. Because I'm like, surely I've got some great story. I did look at my notes because I've preached about love quite a bit. And I've told the same story about 7 times. And I thought I probably shouldn't tell that one again. And so I'm scrolling through and I'm looking. And I ran across, and this is just talking about how powerful love is. I ran across something that I wrote in 2017, in October 27th. I sent it to my family because when I read it, I sat in my office and I started to weep uncontrollably. I'm telling y'all, You voted a sappy pastor in. Because it was something I wrote the day after our dog died. I was at church and I was praying and it hurt so bad. You remember Skippy Dan? I was just devastated. And so I wrote all this wonderful. If you want to read it and cry this morning, I'll share it with you. But in the end of that, I put and I sent it to my family. I said, it's so hard to believe it's been 7 years. Thinking about my dog. And it can still hurt that bad. But I wrote at the end of that on that day, my word, help me to not cry, Jesus. I'm missing my dog. The Lord spoke to me comforting words, and he said, it still hurts because the love is still there. Love is so powerful. It's everlasting. It's why when that person who died in your life 30 years ago and you began to think of them and you look at a picture of them, all those emotions come back. It's because the love is still there. Oh, how he loves you this morning. And when you mess up, his love is still there. And when you're doing great, his love is still there. And it will always be. I have some news for you today that I want to say one last time. His love is for everyone. And I want to say it again because I think some of you forget it or don't believe it. But he loves you. And I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but I want you to hear it. He loves you. And this morning, I don't know if you've been in a loving relationship with the Lord for years, or maybe you still have those chairs in your life that are keeping you guys from getting together, and you need to experience the new birth. He can do that today. But what I want you to know is that he loves you. He's looking forward to not just being with you while you walk on this earth, but he can't wait until the day when he gets to see you face to face. When we get to run. Do I get to run up and give Jesus a hug? I'm a hugger, as you all well know. I just want to give him a big bear hug for about 1 million years. And then maybe let go and let somebody else have a turn. But I wonder this morning if we can take a moment to come to this altar and just tell him how much we love him and express that love that we have and that appreciation. But then also to say, Jesus, thank you for your love letter towards me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Lord, and don't ever let me doubt again that you love me. Let's just tell him right now, Father, I love you so much. I thank you, Lord, for the reminder this morning that your love is so great and so wonderful, and there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Lord, I thank you that your love is everlasting. I thank you that you said that there is no way that I can get away from your love, Father. I thank you that you want to draw close to me. I thank you, Lord, for your love towards us. Lord, I pray that you would saturate us with your love this morning. Let us feel your warm embrace. Let us feel your presence as you draw near to us, as you reach your arms around us in that loving embrace. Lord, let us walk in this knowledge.